Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, January 7th, 2020. The halfway mark for the revitalized peace agreement has come. An impending strike by South Sudanese civil workers has been called off. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. With more than half of the extended 100-day pre-transitional period gone, parties to the peace deal have mixed views about what has been achieved so far. A government spokesman says outstanding issues on security arrangement have been met, while others will be resolved soon. But an opposition spokesman says the parties are far behind schedule on the big issues. Manyang David Mayer reports for VOA from Juba. We'll bring a tape on that story. We are experiencing some technical difficulties in the studio here, but we will continue to update you as our technicians work on the issue. The United Nations reports intercommunal violence in Sudan's West Darfur state has killed and injured scores of people and forced tens of thousands to flee their homes. Lisa Schrein has details for VOA from Geneva.
Fighting erupted between Arabs and the Mazalit, an African indigenous ethnic group, at the end of December in and around West Darfur's capital, El Geneina. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs says the violence has taken a heavy toll. It reports at least 54 people have been killed and 60 injured. It says 40,000 have been internally displaced and thousands of others have fled to Chad in search of refuge. OCHA spokesman Jens Laerke says the displaced are sheltering in schools and government buildings around El Geneina. He says UN agencies and local partners are providing essential relief. He says the hospital is open and several health clinics are being set up to help those in need of medical care.
The situation in the affected area is currently calm and appears to be stabilizing, while UN agencies are carrying out water trucking, distributing soap and helping waste collection from the displacement sites. Other relief include food distribution and nutritional support to children, as well as distribution of mosquito nets, blankets, sleeping mats, and plastic sheeting.
Meanwhile, the UN Refugee Agency says an estimated 3,700 Sudanese refugees have fled to Chad from West Darfur over the past 10 days. UNHCR spokesman Andre Mahechit says most of the refugees are women and children. He tells VOA the arrivals report fleeing their homes due to violence. He describes the conditions for the refugees in Chad as dire.
Most of the arrived refugees are staying in the open. They are staying under makeshift shelters. There is very little protection from the elements that they have right now. Food and water are obviously urgently needed, and health conditions are extremely worrying. Or urgent response is needed.
Mahechit says the Sudanese refugees are scattered in several Chadian villages along the border. He says UNHCR teams currently are monitoring the situation in 10 of those villages. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
We now turn to neighboring Kenya, where at least 4 students were killed and 4 more injured when suspected Al-Shabaab terrorists attacked a primary school in Garissa County near the border with Somalia. The Kenyan military says they killed 2 of the attackers as they tried to blow up a telecommunication tower. Mohammed Yusuf has the story for VOA from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
Kenyan police say Al-Shabaab terrorists attacked Saredo Primary School in a remote village in Garissa County early Tuesday morning. Charles Owino is a Kenya police spokesman.
About 12 Al-Shabaab attackers attacked an area called Saretho. Saretho is within Dadaab sub-county, Garissa County, 25 kilometers from Dadaab center. And they killed a teacher and 3 other persons, a total of 4 people.
Owino says one child was killed and others injured in the attack. He says security officers fought off the attackers as they then tried to destroy a telecommunications tower with improvised explosive devices.
and they attempted to destroy the telecommunication Safaricom mast around that place. Patrol caught up with them and shot and killed two of them, and we recovered two AK-47 rifles and some IEDs that they had planted at the telecommunication area.
Al-Shabaab militants launched frequent attacks in northeastern Kenya near the border with Somalia. The Islamist group wants Kenyan troops to leave Somalia, where they have been helping African Union forces battle the militants. On Sunday, the Islamist group attacked a military base in Lamu, Kenya, that hosts US and Kenyan counter-terrorism forces, killing three US personnel and damaging several aircrafts. In one of the worst attacks in 2015, Al-Shabaab gunmen stormed Garissa University, killing 148 people, most of them students. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
We are experiencing some technical difficulties in one of our studios here, and we're not able to play tapes from South Sudan. We will continue to update you as our technicians rectify the problem.
His message goes to you. Yeah, his message goes to you. From the bottom of my heart now, why make your brother to cry? Why make your sister to suffer? Why make your mama to cry? Why make your brother to suffer? For time has come, everybody saw some love. Peace and harmony. Yeah. Live in peace and harmony. Together is love. Some better changes, for it's time for you and me to make some better changes. But when the time is getting harder, we need to stand together. United we stand, divided we fall. Yeah, that is the rule of the game. United we stand, divided we fall. Yeah, that is the rule of the game. But I don't wanna see my brother live like that. In my homeland, I don't wanna see my sister cry like that. In my homeland, we need love,
love, love.
We need peace,
peace and unity.
We need love,
love, love.
We need peace.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. We have some good news for you. The technical glitch has been temporarily fixed. With more than half of the extended 100-day pre-transitional period gone, parties to the peace deal have mixed views about what has been achieved so far. A government spokesman says outstanding issues on security arrangements have been met, while others will be resolved soon. But an opposition spokesperson says the parties are far behind schedule on the big issues. Manyang David Mayer reports for VOA from Juba.
South Sudan's information minister and government spokesperson Michael Makwey says in the past, parties have made progress in implementing pre-transitional activities.
As a government, we are making progress, and I'm sure the the revitalized agreement will be implemented and the Artigono will be established towards the end of the 100 days because the security arrangements are now underway. People are moving to the training centers. Those who are going to be trained are not recruits. They are not civilians. They are already military people. So all that they need is a refresher course, which can take 2 or 3 weeks, and they are graduated and deployed.
But SPLM-IO Deputy Spokesperson Manawe Peter Gatkwos says the parties are far behind schedule on a number of issues that were supposed to have been completed by the end of the first 50 days of the extended pre-transitional period.
The security arrangement, we start late, we're taking the forces from containment areas to training sites. We are facing some challenges also, number of sources from side of the government. It seems they are not attending the training site, which areas controlled by IO, the forces of the government. Up to now, they didn't reach. The issues of number of states and the boundaries should be addressed before evaluation of the 50 days, because it's a part of the activities of 50 days in Upper Nile and some area in Equatoria.
Manawe says recent fighting between SPLM-IO forces and a group allied to the government in Juko in former Upper Nile state violates the ceasefire and is likely to affect the implementation of security arrangements. The National Democratic Movement, led by Dr. Lama Kol, which is a member of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance, issued a statement at the end of the first 50 days expressing concern about deadlines not met. The statement seen by VOA says the government announced the release of $40 million in the fulfillment of $100 million pledge it made, while the real amount availed was only $16 million, less than half of that figure announced. It also says the government has shown no compromise on the stalemate over the number of states. Makwei says President Salva Kiir and SPLM-IO leader Riek Machar will resume talks on the number of states this week to resolve the matter.
Number of states and allocation of ministerial portfolios, allocation of the states and so forth will be agreed upon within the next few days. Riek Machar has not come back and we are still waiting for him. We are expecting him to come at any time.
The Troika, which includes the United States, United Kingdom and Norway, released a joint statement last week at the end of the first 50 days, calling on the government to fund the peace process transparently. It also encourages all signatories to the peace deal to demonstrate measurable progress on the issues of states and boundaries and on the implementation of pre-transitional security arrangements. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayer in Juba.
Tonj civil servants have called off a planned strike after state officials agreed to pay their back salaries. Last week, the Tonj State Workers Union said it would strike in 1 week's time if workers were not paid. Civil servants are demanding slightly more than $500,000 South Sudanese pounds in arrears, the equivalent to some $1,600 per worker on the black market. Lasuba Memo has this report for VOA from Juba.
In August, Tonji State Governor Matthew Matiang issued an order promoting 75 civil servants and increasing their pay by 75%, but then revoked that decision last October, explaining that the national government had not increased its allotment to states. Members of the Civil Servants Union threatened to strike in 7 days, but after meeting with Tonj State Authority yesterday, called off the strike. Justin Lual, chairperson of the Tonj State Workers Union, says they had a breakthrough in talks.
We were able to resolve the problem amicably, whereby the calculation of the arrears has been done, and those who were promoted will, of course, be in the system and they will be able to earn the salaries normally. So I'm sure we had a breakthrough and the whole thing was resolved.
Tonj State Information Minister Walmayom confirms the matter has been resolved.
What has been talked on the salaries is already agreed, and it would also be received by the workers of Tony State. So there is no any difference. It was just an issue of the governor was away and and the workers were in a hurry to receive their salaries. And the Minister of Finance was not informed directly by the governor of Tony State to issue out the salaries.
Mayom did not address the fact that many workers had not been paid in 5 months. This addresses his statement that workers were in a hurry to get paid. He says most unpaid civil servants were promoted last August. Gorigori Luka, Secretary General of Tony State Teachers Union, says the governor promoted him to a senior position months ago.
Our arrears have been confirmed and promotion is been confirmed also, so there is no problem. Very soon, because the Minister of Finance of Tony State accepted yesterday that very soon you will get your arrears.
Tony State teacher Ngor Bol says he doubts the state will fulfill its pledge to pay all civil servants their salaries in arrears, because the government has been dodging the issue of unpaid salaries for months.
The salaries were brought in August without the arrears. They said in September. September came and they said October. October came and the minister said things that annoyed us.
Union boss Lual says the government must clear the arrears now. Mayom says the state government will pay the back salaries as soon as the state finance ministry obtains the money from the national government. For VOA News, I am Lasuba Memo in Juba.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what job would you be really bad at and why?
If I was to be a doctor, I don't think I would do it well, because I'm not actually confident at treating people. But I have that humanity of I can treat someone well, but I can't treat you like a patient.
I'll be really bad at any job that would tell me what to wear. I'm a person that doesn't like to use tie, especially. So any job that would tell me I have to talk in, I have to use tie, I have to resume by 7 a.m. and all, I'll be bad at that job because it's not part of my ethics.
I'm not so good with handling gadgets, electronics, and also I believe I'll be very bad at computer engineering. I wouldn't know how to go about it. I wouldn't know how to fix, you know, things here and there.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. It's time for our Tuesday health segment, and today we are talking about a lack of health services in one of South Sudanese states. Buma state residents and officials say a lack of health facilities in an area where there is acute malnutrition and disease, caused in part by the recent heavy floods, has devastated effects on the region. One Buma County health official says more than 50 children in the area died recently from suspected measles. Viola Elias has more for VOA from Juba.
Speaking in his native Jay language, Nakun Lokine, a traditional chief in Boma State's Nayapuru village of Jebel Buma County, says there is no health center in his village.
We have no even hospital here.
We have no hospital here in Boma. And when someone gets sick here in Boma, then we have to wait until a plane comes from Juba, then the patient is taken to Juba. You can even see the children with your eyes. They are really suffering from sickness.
Nyayapuru Women's Representative Mary Nasike says in Jay that women in particular suffers from non-existent health services. Speaking in Jay, Nasike tells South Sudan in Focus, several pregnant women have died in the area because they cannot access healthcare facilities.
There is no good hospital to help women when they have complications during pregnancy or during delivery. There is no vehicle that will help take the pregnant women to the hospital unless people carry them up to the town. And the only hospital is not good and very far from us. And if you go there, you are given only some tablets that will not even help you.
Nasike is urging the government to build health care centers and send medical workers to Boma State. Aside from poor health care services, Nasike points out that local women must walk long distance each and every day to collect water for their families, and there are no schools for their children. Simon Lukong, the Jebel Buma County Health Director, confirms Maruo, Nayapuru and Loborok villages have few clinics. He says there are only 3 health centers in Jebel Buma County, which has more than 50,000 residents. Lokong says more than 50 children died in the county in 2019 due to suspected cases of waterborne diseases that went untreated. He says blood samples sent to laboratory at the National Hospital in Juba should confirm whether or not the children died of measles.
The measles was killing many children.
The measles was killing many children. By that time, it was 56 children who died. But this month, we did not receive any case or message about within town here also. There are suspected cases of measles, but we are managing. Only a few children died last month. This month, we are still admitting some children in the hospital.
Lokong says the state has not received any drugs from the government for the past year, even though he has informed the National Health Ministry about the critical lack of health services in the area.
They are aware about this, and they ask us to send sample, and we had already sent. So now we are still waiting for feedback from them. Actually, the measles campaign was supposed to be done in October, but now with the flood, it has stopped everything until now.
Lukong is pleading with national health officials to construct more health centers in Boma State so people can be treated for suspected diseases and other ailments before it is too late. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Cameroon says 10 Nigerians were killed on Monday when a grenade exploded near a market on the two countries' border. Authorities denied local media reports of suicide bombings and said the explosion was caused when a Nigerian boy found a grenade and was playing with it when it detonated. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports for VOA from Yaoundé.
The governor of Cameroon's far north region, Mijiyawa Bakari, says Monday's deadly explosion was on El Bayd Bridge, linking a border market that spans both Cameroon and Nigeria. He says a Nigerian boy found a grenade and was playing with it when it detonated.
Ce qu'il convient de souligner, c'est qu'il s'agit d'une grenade trouvée par un enfant.
Bakari says the 10-year-old boy found the explosive device in a heap of debris near the bridge, which links the Cameroonian town of Fotokol to the Nigerian town of Gambaru. The boy apparently thought the grenade was a piece of scrap iron that could be sold, he says, but the device exploded in his hands, killing the boy and 8 other people on the spot and wounding 30 others. Bakari said Cameroon's military and rescue workers rushed the wounded to a hospital in Fotokol, where another victim died from wounds. He said all those killed and 25 of the wounded were Nigerians, while 5 were Cameroonians. Local radio stations had reported that 2 female suicide bombers with the Islamist terrorist group Boko Haram were responsible for the explosion. But Bakari dismissed the report as unfounded and said Cameroonian officials have kept Nigerian authorities informed about their investigation. The governor said they were probing the origin of the grenade and whether it was from a military or Boko Haram. Cameroon's military says it's been more than a year since it had large clashes with the terrorist group, but abandoned weapons and explosives are sometimes recovered in areas of previous fighting. Military spokesman Serge Cyril Atongfak Gemo says locals should always report when suspicious objects are found.
Le dispositif sécuritaire à double volet, fixe et mobile.
He says the large presence of Cameroon's military in border towns with Nigeria, in spite of falling attacks by Boko Haram, is to protect civilians, especially schools, markets, houses of worship, and popular places. The military is detecting and rapidly destroying all dangerous objects left behind from years of fighting, says Gemo. 8 Cameroonian soldiers were killed along the Nigerian border in February 2015 by a mine explosion. The United States has helped train Cameroonian troops to detect and dismantle landmines and explosive devices. While military clashes are less frequent, Boko Haram still targets civilians along the border. In December, the militants, disguised as traders, attacked and killed at least 50 fishermen on an island on Lake Chad, which borders Cameroon and Chad. At least 20 of those killed were Cameroonians. The United Nations says Boko Haram's 10-year insurgency has killed over 27,000 people in northeastern Nigeria alone and displaced 2 million, while the conflict spilled across the border to Cameroon, Chad, and Niger. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. With more than half of the extended 100-day pre-transitional period now over, parties to the revitalized peace deal have mixed views about what's been achieved so far. A government spokesperson says the most outstanding issues in security arrangements have been completed, while others say they will be resolved in the next few weeks. But an SPLM-IO deputy spokesperson says the parties are far behind schedule. South Sudan Information Minister Michael McQuay said in the past parties made progress in implementing pre-transitional activities. As a government, he said, we are making progress and I'm sure the revitalized agreement will be implemented. But SPLM-IO deputy spokesperson Manawa Peter Gakwath says the parties are far behind schedule on a number of issues, including states and boundaries that were supposed to be completed by the end of the first 50 days of the extended pre-transitional period. Tonj State civil servants have called off an impending strike after state officials agreed to pay their back salaries. Last week, Tonj State workers said they would strike in 1 week's time if workers were not paid. Civil servants are demanding slightly more than a half million South Sudanese pounds in arrears, or about $1,600 US each. In August, Tonj Governor Matthew Methang issued an order promoting about 75 civil servants and increasing their pay by about 75%, but then revoked that decision last October, saying that the national government had not increased its allotment to the states. Members of the civil servants union threatened to strike in 7 days, but after meeting with Tonj state authorities yesterday, they called off that strike. Justin Luwal, chairperson of the Tonj State Workers Union, said they had a breakthrough in those talks. And finally, Boma State residents and officials say too few health facilities in an area where there's been acute malnutrition and disease caused by recent heavy floods has had devastating effects. A Boma County health director says more than 50 children in the three villages died in recent months from suspected measles cases. Naku Lokin, a traditional chief in Boma State's Neoporu village of Jebo Boma County, says there is no health center in his village. We have no hospital here in Boma, and when someone gets sick here in Boma, then we have to wait until a plane comes from Juba, and then the patient is taken to Juba, he said. Naroporu women's representative Mary Nasiki says in G that women are in particular suffer from non-existent health services. She said several pregnant women have died recently because they could not access health care services. She is urging the government to build health care centers and send medical workers to Boma State. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
And that's our show for this Tuesday. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening, and we apologize for the technical glitch. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.